is, everyone. My name is Karen Velasquez, and welcome to the Experiential Learning at UG podcast. I'm the Director of Experiential Learning in the Office of Experiential Learning at the University of Dayton in Dayton, Ohio. This podcast focuses on innovative experiential learning opportunities developed at the University of Dayton and features educators, students, and other guests who are passionate about hands-on learning opportunities both inside and beyond the classroom. The goals of this podcast are to share the great work being done here with audiences at UD and beyond, to inspire more experiential learning innovation and collaboration, and discuss helpful tools and insights for how to develop successful experiential learning activities and programs. Joining us for today's episode, I have gathered a fabulous group of University of Dayton students, staff, and faculty to discuss the University of Dayton's first ever hackathon entitled Hack for Impact, which took place February 18 and 19 this semester. So I know our audiences may be asking, what exactly is a hackathon? So briefly, before I introduce our guests, I thought I'd give a little context. A hackathon really brings together a diverse group of learners and creators for a couple of days to engage in intensive collaboration on creative projects that typically involve the use of technologies to solve real-world problems. At UD's first hackathon, students focused on problems like sustainability, like food deserts, and social justice issues that are important to consider in the city of Dayton, which has historically faced many challenges as a result of economic depression, unemployment, segregated neighborhoods, and lack of access to basic food, health, and education resources. So during the hackathon event in February, 14 students spent 2 days brainstorming, prototyping, designing, and presenting their ideas to a group of judges, which we have gathered here today. As the Director of Experiential Learning, I can say that I was very impressed by this event and very inspired. I thought it was a great success and really an amazing example of a collaborative and high-impact experiential learning opportunity. So as I mentioned, I've gathered our organizers of the hackathon event today, as well as 2 student participants, to share their perspectives and highlights from the event and to discuss the value of these hands-on experiential learning opportunities for students' education at the University of Dayton. So now it's my pleasure to introduce our guests for today's hackathon episode. We have gathered Ashley Brown, who is a junior in electrical engineering. We have Samantha Renu. Samantha is a third-year engineering student studying electrical engineering and computer science. And this Hack for Impact hackathon was her first hackathon ever. We also have Craig Bowman, who is an application support specialist responsible for the maintenance and implementation of our integrated library system. And also Tam Nguyen, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Computer Science, and who is teaching courses about programming, data structures, visual computing, and mixed reality. We also have Kevin Hallinan, professor in mechanical and aerospace engineering with a strong interest in growing creative thinking and transdisciplinary skills in students. Mike Puckett, the program coordinator for the Institute of Applied Creativity for Transformation, also known as IACT. And we also have David Wright, who is our Director of Academic Technology and Curriculum Innovation at the University of Dayton. So thank you all so much for coming in today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. So back in October of 2016, Craig, our organizer here, contacted me with the idea of planning a hackathon event. So I guess if we can go back and think about that initial conversation and how this all started, can you tell us where this idea for the hackathon, where it came from and what inspired you?
So it started a little earlier. This past summer, after having participated in a hackathon, I thought it would be a really great idea if we could kind of do something like this at UD. So this past June, July, I just started sort of reaching out to different people. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just wanted to have a conversation with people about hackathons at universities and how that can be an experiential learning event for students. And it sounds like there was lots of other people on campus who were wanting to have that conversation. So we started working slowly. I think in September, we Yeah, full. So we started, and you know, and the whole process was a very collaborative event. So I don't really think I was any sort of more of a leader than anyone else, but.
But together we hacked together a solution.
Great. So in discussing some of these planning steps that were involved, we also have some professors here today who were involved in the planning of the event. So my question is for Kevin. Can you describe how this hackathon of, connects to the course that you were teaching this semester?
Sure. First off, I came into this by accident. Mike Puckett, IACT, had been part of the planning for this. For my course, I just let him know that I was thinking about doing a hackathon for specifically my course. And he said, well, we're already doing a hackathon. We're still trying to find a theme, so maybe we can link these up. And so that's how I got involved. My course is actually got a weird name. It's Local Sustainability, linked to jobs, training, and mentoring in our community, ideally in a way that leverages the strength of UD and in a lot of ways. So it kind of became the theme for the hackathon. My students had a choice, frankly, to be involved in the hackathon. One role that I saw for them early was to be subject matter experts that the teams there could consult. So most of those who attended and attended served that role. Some others came at the end to kind of see the conclusion of the work. That's it.
Great, thank you. Tam, I know you were also involved in the planning process and that this hackathon connected to the course that you were teaching this semester. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I joined UD from August 2016, and after 1 month, and I was invited by David and by Greg to join the planning team. And I teach several courses in computer science department. And in my courses and also some other courses in the department, we try to encourage students to do a lot of coding, a lot of programming, a lot of debugging inside the classroom so they can study by doing, study by learning from the errors. And we believe that joining the hackathon events is even better for the student because in the event, the student, they have to figure out the problems. Not that we give them the problems, they have to figure out the problems from the challenges and then they develop a solution on top of that. And I invited Greg to join our department, to come to our classes, and then to introduce about the event. And finally, we have two teams of five from the CS background, and they got very good results, and we are very happy for it. That's it.
Fantastic. And so we also have Mike here, Mike from Art Street, and the hackathon was held at Art Street and was really also inspired by the IACT model. Can you tell us what that IACT model is and how you hope students would engage with it through this hackathon?
Sure. The IACT model really centers around applied creativity. And so what we do with that is try to look at looking at all disciplines and combining that with sort of a human design element. And really a humanity design element. The human design focuses on maybe just the singular person, but a humanity design looks at the group of people. And so within that, the more specific model of IACT focuses on the ideation, disruption, and aha, which we kind of look at different ideation processes, and then we try to disrupt those processes with some sort of ambiguity in the process, and then hopefully we can come to sort of a aha moment, like a new knowledge. So we do that through a series of labs activities, but we hope to just kind of bring a new angle to the hackathon.
Kevin, I know you have experience with the IACT model through other experiential learning activities. Do you want to say a little bit about what it means to you?
Yeah, so I've been involved in a number of ways, but the last two summers in particular, I've been involved in something that was called the Collaborator Accelerator. It was an internship that was involving many different disciplines, all toward an innovation that made difference in the world. So what they call humanity-centered innovation. To be honest, I was shocked at how effective, how great of a learning experience these activities were. Maybe even the most impactful experiences I've ever seen as an educator, even more impactful than our Ethos program. So, in terms of growing critical perspective, creativity for sure, but also in growing vocation, a sense of who students are and what their purpose is. And, you know, that's what's got me excited about being part of everything that they're involved in.
Thank you. So in thinking about the collaborative nature of this hackathon and all the planning that took place to make this happen, I'd like to ask David and Craig here, what were some other planning logistics that needed to be addressed to make this come together? You know, in terms of also educating others about what is exactly a hackathon and how is it unique at UD?
I think one piece that I know I wanted to make sure that if I had a role in this development of this project was to help others understand what hacking meant. Because at this very moment, more and more people were getting more sensitized about cybercrime and all that kind of hacking. The notion of hacking, though, is also a productive thing. It's something that you're creative. You're being able to generate new ideas and and of course, we're also trying to figure out how do you do this in a way that is connected to UD's mission.
Yeah, and I always kind of think when I think of the word hacking, I always kind of think of an unintended way of interacting with something. So it's kind of going back to the design philosophy of just kind of trying to disrupt something.
And I also saw the value of this as a type of learning activity that we typically don't see here at UD. We've grown the number of experiential learning opportunities, but for faculty especially, we're often thinking about learning as happening primarily in the classroom. And research shows that there's deep learning that can happen in activities that take place outside of the classroom. And UD
or is growing. Perhaps the classroom can even change to accommodate these kind of experiences. Yeah.
What is a classroom?
Yeah, that's my big takeaway, actually.
So I'd like to talk to the students who are joining us today and ask about your perspective on the event. What did you learn by participating through this hackathon?
I know the biggest thing I learned was definitely not jumping ahead and just providing a solution. One thing that I think Ashley really accelerated on was we have to make sure we identify a problem. Like, yeah, they can throw ideas at us like, oh, this is your issue, but what does it really boil down to? And I think figuring out how to approach the problem was the biggest thing.
And then also the fact that we chose to focus on a social issue, like a social problem that we were solving with the students in Dayton Public Schools, was that the problem that we identified as a problem was actually a problem for them. It wasn't just something that we were going to define as their problem and come up with a solution for something that wasn't actually what they needed.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about the challenges and why you chose that specific challenge?
I think part of it, I started actually volunteering at the local elementary schools, and just kind of seeing their situation, I think it's something that kind of, in a way, resonated with us. Not that we could fully understand, because we both come from pretty well-off areas, but I think just trying to bring influences opportunities we've had available to us, trying to broaden that out and bring it to others who might not be so fortunate was kind of the idea.
And it was also something that we saw that if we targeted like the youth in the community, that like helping them develop and like creating a better future for them, then they could also take that back to the community and help raise the community as well.
Great. And do you feel that this event kind of related to what you're doing in engineering, to your major? How did it add value to your education?
I think it definitely brings on the personal aspect of it. I mean, being both engineers, people imagine us hiding behind glass windows. Don't knock on the glass, you'll scare the engineers kind of idea. I think it kind of enhances our abilities to work with others. And a lot of people kind of look over that side of things in engineering, is you have to be able to communicate with the community and just practice ethical practices, I guess.
Great.
But do you think that this could be connected to what you do as engineers downstream? What you did, you coming up with mentoring programs that connect to kids in the city?
Yeah, definitely. Between like using like, we approach it with like an engineering process sort of thing, mm-hmm. too, to come up with the solution, but then also knowing that the program that we came up with was a mentorship program for, I guess, faculty and just people in the community to come in and mentor their students, that's a place that we can be in a couple of years to be able to give back as well.
And again, speaking personally, I'd like to get into teaching eventually or something of the sort, being able to get that practice now and trying to make connections to carry that throughout my career.
That's really great. That's what we hope experiential learning can do, is prepare you for, you know, start thinking about how you might apply these experiences to your career goals, to your academic endeavors. So it's really great to hear that this was valuable to you. And just a general question to the other planners and the judges here today. What were some of your observations watching the students work in teams? What did you notice? What sorts of things did you want to highlight?
I'd like to ask about the Lego, because at first I thought, Lego is being used. I thought Mike sort of started talking about that as the planning process, get people sort of brainstorming. I'd love to know more about how that triggered creativity, because it seemed like it sort of got the ball rolling, and then people really started to get engaged in that.
Sure. So, when we use Legos, we use it in a way that we call just rapid prototyping. And it's sort of a hands-on type activity to think through creative processes and look at your process and even potential solutions just a little bit differently through sort of a model type aspect. But we'll ask questions like if you think, what's a potential obstacle towards, finding a solution in your process in this hackathon. And then we say, build it.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that obstacle look like? So when you ask someone to take Lego bricks and actually put them together and with the Lego figures, people start creating not a real-world solution, but they can imagine it a little bit more clearly, and then they take that into account when they're actually working through their process.
I know there were also some other activities happening over the weekend that were related to the hackathon that were meant to sort of inspire creativity in the students. Do you want to talk about some of those activities? Maybe David can mention the virtual reality.
So we had virtual reality headsets. It was interesting to come in and suddenly see this whale swimming across the room, because we also had whatever they had on the VR headset, we also projected on the projector in the room. So I think it was just helpful for folks to kind of break away for a moment and do something different and fun. And it sort of helps the thinking process, because then you have time to digest what you've just done, and you come back and you get into the rest of the hackathon. But I'm hoping that was sort of a way to also sort of set your mind adrift and start thinking very differently about how a solution could actually involve technology.
Yeah, and for me, having been involved in creative processes like this before, I always find that I'm the most creative sometimes when my brain is doing something else, when I'm playing guitar, and then I get that burst of inspiration that, I need to do this other thing in a different way.
Can you talk, I'm asking the students here with us, can you talk about how some of these creative activities inspired you to come up with your solutions? How are they helpful in the process?
Taking a break definitely helped, because we were going at it, like, to some extent, we, like, defined our problem statement. We were like, these are the criteria that we have to meet, like, for the project we were doing. Like, the students had to be at school. It needed to be during the day. We needed to bring somebody to the students. And then, like, at that point, we had that stuff listed, and then we took a break. We did the VR. We did the mini challenges. And then after that, we were able to come back and say, oh, this is how we're going to do that. That having that break was able to give us a break from thinking and allow us to come up with a solution.
Awesome. So ultimately, at the end of the hackathon, the students and their teams got together and they presented the results of their projects and what they had been working on. So what were some general impressions from these presentations?
So can I share? And I think it's a really important one from my perspective. What I was struck by was that the depth of thinking, the creativity exhibited in just this day plus of, you know, consistent effort, honestly was further along than my course was at that time, which was roughly 7 or 8 weeks into the semester. I remember, so I asked Ashley and Samantha to come and see the kind of the initial design concepts that my students were putting together. And I think they weren't overwhelmed. In fact, I think the ideas coming out of the hackathon were better. And it's had me rethink how I might start courses like I had this summer or this semester, you know, maybe with a hackathon experience, do that, go away for a while, reflect, come back. That's my takeaway from the experience.
And you bring up a really important component of experiential learning, which is that reflection piece. So since the event, you know, I guess, have you had a chance to reflect? And I'm also asking the students here, you know, about what this really was about and what it meant for your learning.
Again, I think it kind of goes back to trying to interact with people to come up with a solution and doing the brainstorming and making sure we're not jumping ahead in the design process, making sure we're identifying that problem. And I mean, again, yeah, this is a hackathon, and like you said, people instantly think of coding. But again, it's algorithm building, algorithms to solve problems. That doesn't have to be specific to anything. It can just be a general issue.
Any other observations from the presentations? I thought they were really wonderful.
I felt bad that we had to rank them, honestly. Like, how can you say one is better than the other? They all were just phenomenal, and we loved them all.
So it was also striking, two of the teams were off first-year students.
Yeah.
I think in particular for that, you know, level of student, this type of experience is especially important to help jumpstart the why of what they're doing, you know, what's possible, what things, you know, the reality of what they're doing. I think there's some real value to having that in the first year.
So to me, I joined many hackathons before. So the hackathon to me just seemed like the best fit for the computer guys. But during the UD hackathon event, I figured out that no, it's not only for computer guys, and we have many solutions, many wonderful ideas from different students, from different departments. So it's very good that we can broaden our scope, not just only for computer guys in the end.
That's probably a long-term strategy for us, is think about how do we get other majors, students from other majors involved.
So it's not only hacking computers, it's like hacking our life to give a better life.
Exactly.
That was a theme that I saw throughout the event, was a concern for social justice, for, you know, a concern for humanity, and using this event to really think deeply about social problems and how we might go about solving them in teams, using the Creative IACT model. Really just that collaborative, very UD thing, I think, that spirit that we have here of community and collaboration. So I'm hearing that there were a lot of really great successes and a lot of awesome things that the students learned. So thinking ahead, what are the main takeaways? How might this event happen in the future? Are there any future plans?
I think, it's obvious that we should be doing it again. I'm hoping that everyone involved in the planning process could be as engaged And I'm hoping some students from the teams could be involved. So I'm looking at Ashley and Samantha with the hope that they could be engaged as well. Because, again, it really is a collaborative venture. And UD, we use the word community maybe too many times, but this is one example of what community can bring.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I would like to see this eventually be led and run by students. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for me that's the ideal.
Yeah, I agree as well. That's sort of been my philosophy early on in the process, that there's so much students can learn just from planning a hackathon and just having the opportunity to maybe, you know, work directly with sponsors who are the companies they might want to apply for jobs is a really useful thing.
So as we mentioned in the ending remarks, that we just organized the best hackathon ever you did. And we are planning to do a better one next year. So we hope that we can gather many faculty members from different departments so to help us to.
Would that be Hackathon 2.0?
Yeah, it's 2.0.
Hack for Impact 2.0.
I think that we'll come up with something more creative.
More creative.
I think this overall was just a great experience, and to be able to have our students involved in the ways they were and open them up to a new sense of creativity, innovation, and just, I think our hope is that it would grow and it would stretch across campus, and we would see more departments across campus backing this and just have a overall great event and life experience for the students.
Agreed. So in closing, I wanted to ask everyone gathered here today, overall, I really think that this hackathon taught us about the value of hands-on and creative project or problem-based learning for students. So what advice or suggestions would you give other faculty and staff at UD who are interested in doing experiential learning with students? Why should they want to get involved, and what suggestions would you have for them?
So there are a lot of learning objectives. I mean, experiential learning isn't about faculty saying to students, this is what you must know. This is, repeat after me, it's about students learning on their own. It's about students collaborating, communicating, working through problems. But I also think, you know, we can talk about vocation or purpose, but it's really only through experiential activities, in my opinion, that you can really define who you are and what you should be, what you should do, how you can make impact in life.
Just to kind of build off that, like you were saying, it's really about the flexibility of the classroom, and it's not the teachers telling us what we have to know. The students can really explore what they want to learn, and they can find that drive within themselves that they can apply to the issue.
Great. Well, thank you all for joining me today. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.